Have you heard that sound in your neighborhood? Or maybe you hear it every day in your own backyard. Oh, chickens. Sometimes the simplest pleasures are the best ones. You know, I've got a friend who raises chickens, and once in a while, she'll bring me some of those fresh eggs right from the coop. And you take one of those eggs or two of them, and I would never just take one. It's always a couple. Maybe you scramble them in a little bit of butter. I like them over easy myself. And that just pretty much tastes like heaven. I'm thinking, oh, Larry Mueller, we're covering the basics of keeping chickens in your backyard with our guest today, Kelsey Jorison Olesen, with us today. She's a first-generation female farmer, self-proclaimed crazy chicken lady, and sustainability advocate and educator at Green Willow Homestead in Shell Lake. And you might want to go to type in Green Willow Homestead, and her site. Her and her husband's site pops up, and I think you'll have some fun going through what they have there at Shell Lake. And she's here to tell you how to start raising your own chickens, and she'll be answering your questions. And I'm wondering about your experiences, either raising them yourself or having them as neighbors. Maybe your neighbor is raising some. And maybe you have some suggestions about caring for them. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kelsey Jorison Olesen, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with. And I'm going to tell our listeners that we're talking, and I'm looking at you via Google Meet, if I'm not mistaken. And you may have there's an impending birth on your farm.
Yes, I've got a pregnant goat. Yep, I'm watching her. I'm watching her on my maternity goat ward camera. thanks to modern day technology, I can see she's just walking around right now. But I think we're okay. I think we should be able to get through our segment today, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, if you have to run off, we'll somehow get on without you. But I'm hoping you can make it the whole way here.
Yes, me too.
Well, you're a first generation farmer, as I mentioned. How'd you get into farming?
So I have a bit of an eclectic background for someone who's gotten into chicken keeping and farming. Initially, I worked as a professional actor and filmmaker in Chicago for several years before my husband and I bought our first farm in Milwaukee. And I had always felt this pull towards getting my hands in the dirt, raising animals, growing my own food. My best friends were in 4-H growing up. I hung out on farms. It was just addictive to me. So I went very quickly from growing my own food to growing food for others, and have now been farming for almost a decade. So as you mentioned, my husband and I, we do currently live in Shell Lake, Wisconsin, and we are on 80 acres. We raise milking goats as well as sell eggs and flowers at our local farmers markets.
So why'd you pick Shell Lake?
Our family's here. Both my husband and my family's here. And when the pandemic hit, my husband and I looked at each other and said, we have no support here in Milwaukee. We want to have kids. We better get up close to those grandparents.
that's a very familiar sounding choice.
Yes.
that I've heard from many people. So what'd you learn in your first year of farming? I mean, there's that pastoral view, but then there's also sometimes reality steps in. I'm wondering what you learned.
You know, that's so true. I think that with social media, we can be bombarded with this romanticized version of what homesteading and farming can look like and feel like. But in reality, it's stinky, it's messy, it's dirty. You deal with death. You have to get your hands dirty. One of the things that really helped me step into becoming a farmer was operating on my own chicken. She had a what's called impacted crop, so her stomach had filled up with baling twine, and I brought her to a vet, and the vet said, look, either I can look at a YouTube video and do this, or you can look up a YouTube video and do this, but you know, the difference is about $350, so you make the choice. And so I put on my medical gloves, and I operated on my chicken myself, and I kind of, from there, I've never looked back. I think I'm an honorary vet at this point.
Samantha in Whitehall wonders if, and you may or may not know this, where would you go to find out if you're allowed to have chickens in your backyard per your town's rules?
That's a great question. So the best resource for finding this information is your county clerk. If you call into their office and ask, they will be able to tell you the answer right away. You can also look up your municipal codes online at your city's municipal codes. So where we originally lived, outside of Milwaukee in Franklin, we were given sort of an acreage limit. So if you were on 3 or more or 5 or more acres, you were allowed to have X number of chickens. And then now I know in the city of Milwaukee, a lot has changed, and a lot of neighborhoods have been advocating to get chickens in their backyards.
Yeah, I go through my neighborhood in Madison, and there are a few. They always seem to be, and there are very few chickens. I'm not sure what Madison's rules are. It's either somewhere between 3 and 5 birds.
Right. Yep.
You're allowed to have. And so you can do it even in Madison, which sometimes gets a reputation for not being too good about rules like that. So what are the basic things you need to think about before you start raising chickens?
So for me, what I always like to tell people is if you can shadow somebody who already has chickens, that would be my first tip. Being able to actually see firsthand what chicken keeping is like is so informative, and it's going to help you understand if it's a good fit for you and your family. And from there, I would start with written resources. You can go to the library, you can get online. My blog, greenmillowhomestead.com, has tons of resources, from how to hatch your own chicks in an incubator to how to build your first chicken coop. So I loved the library getting started. The library was my greatest resource, and I checked out every single book I could find. And then I also, as I mentioned, shadowed another chicken keeper to see if it was something that I would actually like.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. We're currently on our third flock. We live in town, and our city, we checked with our city planner, and it happens that our city does not have any chicken ordinance, and they don't want to have a chicken ordinance because they figure that they can cover noise by noise ordinances, and they can cover smell by nuisance ordinances. And so there's no, you know, within reason, we can have a flock of however many birds, as long as we're not on a commercial scale. But what I was calling in about is because we have a summer pen for our girls that's way at the back of our, the very back of our backyard. And then we have a winter pen that's up by the house, and that's between our house and our neighbor's house. And in order to not have it smell, for one reason, and for another, in order to get compost, in the fall, my husband collects all of the leaves off of our yard and off of one neighbor's yard and puts them in the winter pen, so that the leaves end up being about mid-thigh, mid-thigh deep on me at the start of the winter. And over the winter, we occasionally put out some straw on top of the leaves, but the chickens scratch it, and we throw all of our kitchen scraps out there, and the chickens scratch and dig around and poop, and we clean out the hen house into the pen, and they mix that in, and so it all gets mixed up over the winter. And then in the summer, spring, we move them into their summer quarters, and then my husband cleans out all of that bedding, and we have a three bin composter in the back of the yard, and we compost that over the summer. And then in the fall, put it into pots, and store them in the summer hen house over the winter.
Well, you've got quite an operation there, Stella. And Kelsey, it looks like you were nodding in agreement many times. You know what? Let's save this because we need to take a quick break here to look at the news. So we'll keep those thoughts in our head. And I know Kelsey Jorison Olesen's going to have something to say about our last caller's comments. And I hope you have some comments, too. You can reach us at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you with your thoughts, questions, suggestions, experiences. We're going to take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest, Kelsey. I'm Larry Mueller for Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about raising backyard chickens with our guest, Kelsey Jorison Olesen. She's with us for the rest of the show. She's a first-generation farmer, self-proclaimed crazy chicken lady, and sustainability advocate and educator. And her and her husband's farm is Green Willow Homestead in Shell Lake, Wisconsin. I went online to the Green Willow Homestead website. It's a great site. You'll learn a lot, and you'll have some fun, too, as you read through it and look at the photos and so forth. So, you raise chickens in your backyard or want to do it? Tell us about it. Love to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Kelsey, we heard from Stella from Sturgeon Bay just before the news break. She and her husband sound like they're doing a very good job raising chickens. Maybe you can comment on her story.
Yes, I love how Stella, first of all, talked about she has two separate coops. She has a summer coop and a winter coop. And in Wisconsin, that actually becomes really important. It is cold. You do not want to walk all the way across your yard through the snow to take care of your chickens. Her having a winter coop close to the house is just genius because you take a couple steps out the door, get your eggs, feed your chickens, check on them, and then you can go back inside and curl up. During the summer on our farm, what we like to do, we have our barn for the winter, but during the summer, we put our chickens in what's called a chicken tractor, and we push them across the grass. It is a mobile structure, and me, I weigh 135 pounds. I can push that thing all by myself. And each day, our chickens get a new patch of grass, and they go to town. They love the bugs. They love the grass. And then the other benefit of a mobile chicken tractor is that the poop doesn't collect in one spot. You get to move it over your lawn and slowly fertilize your lawn as you move that chicken tractor along. And if our listeners are curious, we actually sell the build plans to those chicken tractors right on our website. And at this point, I think we've had over 6,000 people build chicken tractors all around the world using our plans.
I love that A-frame concept. It's on wheels.
Yes, it is so slick. It really keeps your yard looking nice. The poop doesn't kill the grass. So then that brings me to the second point that Stella made. She talked a lot about composting, which is one of the best benefits of keeping chickens is that free fertilizer. You can't say that about a cat or a dog.
Right.
you know, that goes right in the garbage. But with chickens, you can compost that. She used leaves right from her yard, which is really economical. We love to use sawdust. My husband works as a remodeler, so we have a lot of sawdust on hand. And we will sprinkle that sawdust over the poop, and it will keep the smell down, and it will help it compost. So we use that in our garden. We use that in our flower beds. I call it chicken gold. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of tending do chickens need?
So with chickens, you're going to want to think about first where they're going to live. Chickens need a quiet, secluded place to lay eggs and a safe, sheltered place to roost at night. Some ideas that I've seen is you can convert an old shed to turn it into a chicken coop. You can build a mobile chicken tractor, like I mentioned. There are so many options for creating a cozy space for your hens. And as long as they're able to be locked up at night and they have a nesting box to lay their eggs, you can't go wrong. When it comes to bedding, I like to lay down sawdust or pine shavings. And when it comes to the daily chores, they're going to need fresh water, they're going to need a scoop of feed, and they're going to need to be observed to make sure nobody's sick or injured. But other than that, they're pretty much no different than a cat or a dog, except you don't have to walk them. You don't have to put them. I know some people like to put their chickens on leashes, but it's not required.
And I want to go back to your A-frame because I love that construction idea because they
Yeah.
roost kind of in the top of the A-frame. And then you, in the morning, that's when you move the roost on the or
Yes.
the A-frame or the tractor, as you call it, on.
Yeah.
And so they're already up in the roost, so you're
Yeah. There is a roost area that is closed off from below, and there is a ramp that we have on a pulley system. So you lower that ramp, and the chickens can go up and down into that roost, which sits above the ground. And then at night, you pull that pulley system back up and you tie off the ramp, and they are snug as a bug inside that roost. We have not lost a single chicken inside our chicken tractors. And it's been almost 7 years at this point that we've had them. So they really have a good security for those chickens at night.
And they're kind of attractive too. Well, the birds are attractive, but I mean the A-frame is kind of attractive as well.
I appreciate that, Larry. Thank you. I have an eye for design, and my husband is an engineer. So together we made what we thought looked best. And obviously, a lot of other people think it looks pretty great too.
Yeah, we've got a number of email questions in here. Wait a second, I just lost it for a second. Where is it? Cease in Southern Wisconsin emailed us. They'd like to hear about the extra sep. Their son in Montana had to take when beginning a chicken coop. Their son had to install an electric fence to keep the grizzly bears out.
You
Well.
know, oh my goodness, every area has its own challenges when it comes to predators. You know, here in northern Wisconsin, we've got black bears. That's something that we deal with. And those electric fences come in really handy when you're dealing with the big predators like bears.
Yeah.
Another option too is we have what's called livestock guardian dogs, and they are trained to not hurt the chickens, but protect them. And they take care of things like eagles, coyotes, foxes, and bears.
Ari emailed us. They'd love to have chickens, but their homeowners association says chickens aren't allowed. Apparently, back in 2008, someone in the HOA had chickens and didn't handle the poop properly. So all the neighbors had to smell it. Any tips on convincing their HOA to change their mind?
Oh, I hear this story time and time again. It's always one person who can ruin it for the whole lot. And yeah, you do have to be conscious of manure management so it doesn't smell. And just like we have to be conscious with our other pets, like cats and dogs, we clean up our dog's poop when we go for a walk. It should be no different when it comes to chickens. So I will say, when it comes to communities' concerns about chickens, it's usually the noise, it's disease, and it's poop. And when it comes to poop, I think that if you have the proper management, it's not going to smell. In my experience, like I said, we sprinkle sawdust over the poop to keep the smell down. And they also have something that's called PDZ, and it's azomite. And it actually absorbs the ammonia and neutralizes the nitrogen so that it speeds up the composting process and it neutralizes the smell. And PDZ is available in stores like Farm and Fleet, feed stores. You can have it ordered and shipped right to your house. And we go through a bag of PDZ probably every couple of months, and it comes in really handy. Now, of course, where we are, we don't have a lot of neighbors since we've got a big farm. But even me, I don't want to smell that. So I suggest using the PDZ. And then, too, when it comes to HOAs, you know, it can be hard when somebody's ruined it for the whole bunch. I would say do your research. If you can focus on electing people to your HOA's board who are more pro-chicken. That is another good step.
All good points. Carolyn in, I'm not sure where she emailed us, their daughter was in 4-H, raised chickens. 4-H leaders were a great resource of information and quality chickens over the years. They had two hens, an American named Miss Americana, and a leghorn named Louie the Leghorn, who lived to be 17 years old. And they believe their longevity was due to adding apple cider vinegar to their water every time they changed it, in addition to the loving care they gave them.
Absolutely. Apple cider vinegar is a fantastic holistic approach to keeping your chickens healthy. Another addition you can do when giving your chickens fresh water every day is to add a clove of crushed garlic. Garlic is very good antimicrobial and antibacterial. It's something that I do for my chickens on top of the apple cider vinegar.
And Lisa in East Troy emailed, they're thankful to live in the country. The chickens are like potato chips. You can't have just one, Lisa says. There's so many benefits. She says they have zero food waste in their home. They always have fresh eggs. They mentally fulfill Lisa, and they are entertaining. And they're smarter than people give them credit for. They've come when their name is called. Some like to cuddle, and they have their own personalities. They're inexpensive in regard to the rest of their farm animals. The worst part of having chickens is when they die. They truly become one of the family. And Lisa's recommending everybody try it. What are your thoughts on Lisa's comments?
Absolutely. I agree that chickens are a part of the family. And over time, you definitely create a sense of family. And sorry, my toddler's crawled into the room here.
I'm watching Carrie walk into the other room to find her toddler.
Yeah, we're a family farm here, as well as our chickens being part of the family. So I...
That's all right.
That's okay. My dad's here watching my son, so he's going to quick grab him. Okay, there we go. Crisis averted. It takes a village, Larry. So yes, to her point, the hardest part I have found is when chickens pass away, which was actually a huge... reason as to why we created our own mobile chicken coop, because we let our chickens free range initially. And when they free range, you run into a lot of issues with predators, especially predators from above, like eagles and hawks and owls. So keeping chickens safe is probably the thing that's going to keep you up at night the most when you have your flock.
But if you have a decent pen.
Yep. If you have a decent pen, I used to call our original chicken coop Fort Knox, but even then we had a raccoon get in and take out half our flock in that first year. It was absolutely devastating. But you experience losses like that and you learn, Larry. Otherwise, you know, you'd throw in the towel and you wouldn't have those delicious eggs every morning.
Well, and again on that, I hate to keep coming back to your coop, but you spent a lot of time putting that information together for building the coop that you use, and it really is slick.
Thanks, Larry. We did. My husband and I have had, at this point, over 12 revisions to the plans, and that came from us using the build plans and using the chicken tractor over time, as well as our customers. We're really open to the feedback from people who have built our tractors and, you know, experienced things in different environments, different climates, experienced different predators. And we have taken all of that into account when it comes to trying to create the best mobile chicken tractor there is out there.
Which breeds are best?
That is such a great question. I was hoping you'd ask me about breeds. So first, I do want to say when it comes to chickens, you're going to want more than one because chickens are social creatures. Most city ordinances allow you to have three. So I say get those three chickens because they need each other. They're very social. When it comes to deciding what breed of chicken to go with, you're going to want to think about your climate first and foremost. Select breeds that do really well with high temperatures if you live in a hot area with mild winters. Here in Wisconsin, you are going to want chickens that are hardy in those cold, cold temperatures. So for us, we have had the best experience with what are called ISA Browns. Now, they're not the prettiest looking chickens. They're just your typical brown looking chicken. They lay brown eggs, but man, do they do well in the cold climate. They never are sick. They are so friendly, and they are one of the most productive egg layers in my experience. So I love those ISA Browns, and then I also love Wyandottes. Wyandottes are really, really pretty and also really sassy. They're kind of the divas of the chicken the chicken breed world.
Somebody else wondered about encouraging egg production. Are there tricks or tips for encouraging the chickens to lay their eggs?
Yeah, there are some tips and tricks to encourage egg production. So one of the things you will find is that chickens really slow down in the winter months because egg laying is determined by the amount of light that we have every day. So what people will do is oftentimes hang a light on a timer in their chicken coop so that their chickens get at least 12 to 16 hours of sunlight a day. And that will keep egg production up in the wintertime. For us personally, we choose not to do that to our chickens in the wintertime. We give them some time to rest. We don't have as many customers for eggs in the wintertime. So we let our chickens have a little vacation through those colder months. The other thing that you can do is be sure to offer your chickens a form of calcium, because calcium is what makes those eggshells nice and hard and strong. One way you can do that is by offering your chickens what are called oyster shells. Another thing, if you are looking to save money, is when you crack your eggs in the morning, save those chicken shells, chicken eggshells, crush them up and feed them right back to your chickens.
Why not?
Yep.
Recycle.
Free calcium. Recycle. Yeah.
Mark in Wisconsin Dells has something. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering how to keep your darn chickens out of my flower bed because they're throwing $1,000 worth of mulch onto the driveway every day. And how to keep them off my front porch. My little dog rolls in their crap and brings it in the house.
Well, you've got that problem solved, I believe, Kelsey.
Yep, we keep our chickens in that chicken tractor, and that keeps them from getting into the neighbor's yard. But you know what? As I mentioned, a free-range chicken, even though that's what they love and that's what they thrive on, there's a lot of consequences and downsides to that. So perimeter fencing is really important if you're going to free-range your chickens, because not only is it your neighbor's flower beds and their garden, but it's also the neighbor's dogs, you know, that it goes both ways because chickens are escape artists. So you got to keep those perimeters strong so chickens can't squeeze through and cause havoc. You know, the other thing I can say is that if you're a neighbor that doesn't want those chickens on your porch, just keep a hose with a nozzle handy. You can spray them and they will learn. Chickens are smart. They will learn, just like you keep a spray bottle on your counter to keep the cats off the counter.
You mentioned earlier, I think you said, I forget, was a cup of feed or something, but somebody else is wondering what's the best feed for chickens?
You know, we really like to stick to the organic feed. We pick that up at Tractor Supply in our area. You're going to want to make sure that the feed has at least a 18% protein ratio, because that'll help egg production stay up. And you're going to want to make sure that there is plenty of vitamins, minerals, and probiotics and prebiotics in that chicken feed, because that's going to keep their intestinal tracts healthy. So most chicken feed is formulated where you don't have to worry. You know, everything, all your bases are covered with chicken feed. Like I said, we like organic, but I understand that budget can come into play for a lot of people raising chickens. And the non-organic feed is definitely more affordable.
So the last show, just before you were on, I was the topic of avian influenza came up in terms of wild birds. Is this a common concern for poultry folks?
Absolutely. The avian flu is something that's on all of our minds. And this isn't just, you know, commercial flock owners. This is backyard chicken owners as well. The wild birds are a part of the problem when it comes to spreading this. And it's really hard to keep wild birds out of your barn. It's really hard to keep wild birds out of your feed. It's something that I live in fear of every day. And it's really hard to mitigate. Like I said, wild birds are pretty much the biggest culprit when it comes to it getting into your flock. We just had a caged feeding operation right down the road from us get entirely taken out by the avian flu. And we feel for that family. It's really rough. And I've also had people who sell eggs and are licensed be told that they have to cease and desist because of the avian flu risks in the area, and they don't want it being spread. We luckily have not been notified yet, but it's something that, like I said, it sits on my heart, and it definitely is a cause of concern for me.
Is that, and that's probably the primary disease, anything else in the way of disease that typically might come up?
So chickens, usually the biggest issues are respiratory issues, and you will see those crop up in the fall and spring, because that's when things are damp and moist and can be a bit chilly. When it comes to keeping your chicken's respiratory system healthy, that's basically a proactive approach. You're going to want to keep the bedding in their coop dry and free from ammonia. Ammonia really is, it's what comes from the chicken poop. It's what makes it smell. Ammonia is very hard on chickens' respiratory system. It's caustic. It burns their respiratory system. So keeping that bedding clean is really important, like sprinkling on the sawdust, adding more pine shavings or straw, adding that PDZ that I mentioned. Also, observing your chickens is one of the best ways to catch something quickly and isolate a sick chicken before it can spread to the whole flock. Keep a dog crate on hand and some puppy pads and put that chicken aside and bring her in the house if you need to. I've done that before to make sure a chicken stays healthy. And, you know, the internet is, there is no loss of information when it comes to caring for a sick chicken. There are Facebook groups, there are forums, there are people who are willing to help you problem solve and look at symptoms and give you recommendations when it comes to keeping your chickens healthy.
You know, just to wind up, I mentioned earlier, I went to your Green Willow Homestead website, which I find great. You've got a blog.
Thank you.
You got a blog. You got a, and you're selling some tinctures and.
Yes. Yep. We like to make tinctures from things that we grow on our farm and forage on our farm. One of the things that we love to do is make cocktail bitters.
Well, yep. Of course, all of that is available on your Green Willow Homestead site. Kelsey, it's been a lot of fun. I hope we can do this again down the road sometime. Thank you so much for being with us.
I hope so too, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on.
Kelsey Jorgensen Olesen, our guest, first generation female farmer, and man, she knows a lot, doesn't she? It was great. She calls herself the crazy chicken lady, and she's not crazy when it comes to raising chickens. That's for sure. She's also a sustainability advocate and educator at Green Willow Homestead in Shell Lake. Well, that was fun. Thank you so much for listening in today. What do we got tomorrow on the show? Whoa, we're going to hear about a couple's road to success on a tandem bike, and then the basics of bicycle maintenance with the owner of a Lake Mills bicycle shop. That's tomorrow at 11 on The Larry Mueller Show. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller.